Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. As you just heard from Soterios, the New York State Senate is still considering a same-sex marriage bill. They now say tomorrow appears to be the earliest. It could come to the floor as the legislative session is now in overtime. But regardless of how it turns out, one quote that will remain prominent in the annals of the 2011 debate was this from the Catholic Archbishop of New York, Timothy Dolan, writing on the Archdiocese website last week, quote, "Last time I consulted an atlas, it is clear we are living in New York, in the United States of America, not in China or North Korea. In those countries, government presumes daily to redefine rights, relationships, values, and natural law. There, communiques from the government can dictate the size of families, who lives and who dies, and what the very definition of family and marriage means. But please not here. Our country's founding principles speak of rights given by God, not invented by government," quote Archbishop Dolan. And Dolan put it this way on Fred Dicker's Albany radio show the other day.
This is a very violation of what we consider the natural law that's embedded in every man and woman. And we're really worried as Americans that it's going to be detrimental to the common good. And that, wow, what does it say about the presumptive omnipotence of the state that they would dare to tamper with a definition that we feel is already established by God, by human reason, and by the history of civilization?
So that was the other day. The Dolan North Korea quote was written last week. He continues to speak out, as does his predecessor, Cardinal Egan. The Bishop of Brooklyn, Nicholas DiMarzio, is now the church's point man in Albany. Clyde Haberman's New York Times online column reminds us today that it was just a few years ago that DiMarzio said legal same-sex marriage could put us on a slippery slope to allowing humans to marry animals. So the church has emerged as the most vocal opposition to the pending bill, and we'll try to ask now, in as broad terms as possible, why do they care so much? Is it theology per se? Is it something else? Why? Our guest on this is Todd Saltzman. He's chairman of the theology department at Creighton University. That's a Jesuit college in Nebraska. Professor Saltzman, thank you so much for coming on. Hello from New York. Welcome to WNYC.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So different Christian denominations feel differently. There are big debates within various Protestant denominations, especially Methodists and Episcopalians, plus some others. The Catholic Church is steadfast. As fundamentally as you can say, why do they care so much?
Well, that's a very good question. I think there's a disproportionate amount of attention that the church gives towards this issue of same-sex marriage as compared to other issues like poverty, for instance. I think when Archbishop Dolan talks about a threat to the common good, I think poverty is much more of a threat to the common good than same-sex marriage. And in fact, I mean, when we hear about the Defense of Marriage Act or DOMA or other versions of that, it's not entirely clear how same-sex marriage would threaten the common good. I've never heard real strong arguments to articulate what that threat is and how it manifests itself. I mean, the idea that humans will then want to marry animals is a non sequitur. It doesn't follow, and it's just an irrational, knee-jerk response to a very complex issue.
Well, you're raising it before. It's a little bit of a distraction from the core question of why they care so much about gay marriage, but the ranking of priorities is an interesting point, because I guess in political left-right terms, the church does hold the liberal positions of being generally anti-war and generally anti-poverty for much more aggressive anti-poverty programs that we have, for more acknowledgement of the excesses of capitalism with respect to poverty, things like that, which create great suffering and also take lives in both cases. So I guess the question comes back around then, why do you think the church prioritizes both abortion, and you could see it more in the case of abortion. I mean, abortion, if you accept the church's position, is a matter of life and death. There are murders, as they see it, taking place every day, every time abortion is committed. But same-sex marriage is different from that. That's people choosing to love one another, consensual adults, all presumably human beings. So how do you explain the priority?
Well, I think there's a deep-seated suspicion when it comes to human sexuality, and the Christian tradition in general and the Catholic tradition in specific. I mean, the Catholic Church has consistently taught the goodness of human sexuality, but its goodness very narrowly defined as reproductive sexual acts within a heterosexual marital relationship. Outside of that context, everything else is suspicious. So I think there's a basic deep-seated suspicion towards human sexuality and especially towards homosexuality in particular. Great attention paid to pelvic orthodoxy, as it's sometimes referred to, as compared to social justice issues.
Listeners, we're going to open the lines, and in this case, for anybody who is an opponent of legal same-sex marriage. Now, we've heard from many, 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 many supporters over the many days when our lines have been open for everybody on this. We've had specific call-ins for same-sex couples. So today, the carve-out is for people who are opposed to same-sex marriage. Why do you care so much if this is just about people loving each other? Who does it hurt? And from a religious perspective, and you don't have to be Catholic, you could be whatever religion you are, or atheist or whatever if you oppose this. But from a religious perspective, maybe some of the Catholics in the audience want to call up and talk about why this is wrong in Catholic terms for you, in Pentecostal terms for you, in whatever you are. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For Todd Saltzman, chair of the theology department at the Jesuit Creighton University. Is theology an issue, Professor Saltzman? For example, we've heard on this show about opposition to abortion not just being about taking a life, but also about theology that states where aborted fetuses' souls go, maybe purgatory or limbo because of the circumstances of their deaths. I don't know if you want to talk about that in particular. That's about abortion. But is there anything equivalent regarding gay marriage, which is obviously not about death?
Yeah, I'd rather stay away from the abortion issue. But I think it's interesting, just one preliminary remark. There was survey by the Public Religion Research Institute of Catholics, and Catholics overall are the most tolerant of same-sex marriage. 74%.
Sorry, you were breaking up for a second. You started to say Catholics are the most tolerant
of same-sex union or marriage among all the Christian denominations. There's 74%. So I think it's important to distinguish between the magisterial teaching on this issue and the sensus fidelium, or the sense of the faithful, among Catholic people.
Yes, thank you.
Because there's overwhelming support, 74%, for such types of unions. Theologically, there's a consistent tradition that teaches against homosexual acts from Scripture, throughout the history, the tradition of the Catholic Church. And that teaching is grounded in a theology that sees marriage as the only morally legitimate expression of human sexuality, marriage between man and woman, and sexual acts limited to that relationship. And the foundational principle for Catholic sexual teaching is what's called the inseparability principle, that there are two meanings to the sexual act, the unitive meaning and the procreative meaning. And those two meanings have to be present in each and every sexual act. So with gays or lesbians, you eliminate one meaning of the sexual act, the procreative meaning. Now,
and in fact, later in Bishop Dolan's North Korea post, if we can call it that, he writes, marriage is not simply a mechanism for delivering benefits. That's after he endorses many government benefits for same-sex couples, basic rights, bereavement, visitation rights, things like that. But he says marriage is not simply a mechanism for delivering benefits. It is the union of a man and a woman in a loving, permanent, life-giving union to procreate children. A union to procreate children. Like, that's the only point.
Yeah, well, in fact, that's not what the Catholic Church teaches. I mean, going back to Pius XII in the 1950s, he said that a couple, a married couple, could choose not to procreate for the duration of a marriage for grave reasons, and those reasons were social, economic, biological reasons.
But it's such
tradition that recognizes that procreation, a couple can morally decide not to procreate for the
and so that is
the Catholic tradition.
Right. And it seems, I mean, I'm not Catholic, but it seems like an absolutist position to say that it always must need to be for that. And it reminds me of the Church's position against what they call artificial birth control, like condoms, even among married couples who have lots of kids.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So does that come from the same thing? I mean, you can't say against the risks of out of wedlock sex. There are certainly real risks there, or promiscuous sex. There are real risks there if you want to focus on those, because it does extend all the way to married couples with lots of kids, and until recently, or maybe even still, even to married couples with lots of kids and one party in the couple having AIDS.
Yeah. I mean, there's the principle that is responsible parenthood. Okay, so a Catholic couple must practice responsible parenthood. Now, the Catholic teaching is that, by definition, if a Catholic married couple uses artificial birth control, by definition, their will is contra life. Well, that teaching doesn't resonate with the experience of married couples. I mean, they can use birth control for a number of different reasons. And some of those reasons are to practice responsible parenthood, but the Catholic teaching doesn't recognize that as a foundational reason. It would say, by definition, that artificial birth control is used with a contra-life will and a contraceptive mentality. But that's not the case. That doesn't resonate with human experience. And I think it's very important to look to human experience to inform our teaching on human sexuality. And the same thing with homosexual couples. The Church would say that, by definition, homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. That is, they're wrong, absolutely, intrinsically evil, if you will. But bear out in human experience. Yeah. I mean, there are many monogamous, loving, committed, faithful homosexual couples, gay and lesbian, where their sexual acts are life-giving within the relationship. So,
right. But to the question of why, which is what this segment is about, it seems to boil down almost solely to the procreational teaching of the Church.
Well, yes and no. I mean, Gaudium et Spes at Vatican II. Throughout tradition, up until the 1960s, procreation was the primary end of the marital relationship. Okay, with Vatican II, it listed the union and the procreative dimensions as equal. Mm-hmm. In other words, it eliminated that hierarchy.
Right.
So now the Church teaching recognizes that those two are equal meanings within the sexual act.
Right, but okay? I guess they would still say you have to have both.
Yeah, it would say you have to have both, and by definition, gays or lesbians can't have that procreative meaning.
Todd Saltzman.
But with the teaching, going back to your point about artificial birth control, with that teaching, there still seems to be this hierarchy, implicit hierarchy, that procreation is the primary end. But that's not what the Church teaches.
Todd Saltzman, chair of the theology department at the Jesuit Creighton University, as we talk about why the Catholic Church hierarchy, the official, what did you call it, the magisterial?
The hierarchical magisterium.
So staunchly against gay marriage. Let's talk to some of our callers coming in representing that position. Donna in Morris County, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I'm a Catholic, and I just in my heart cannot accept gay marriage. I'm a supporter of civil unions. In New Jersey, we have that, and I think that is the best route to go. It might be my upbringing, my religious,
What's
education.
the difference for you between civil unions and marriage?
Marriage, truly for me, is a union between a man and a woman. And I just can't break that feeling and that understanding and that view to accept homosexual couples. More broadly, I would love to see the state offer civil unions across the board. You know, I think that's a fairer way that everyone can be offered a civil union, and then for those who want marriages, they can go to their respective religious institutions, social organizations, whatever it may be,
right.
And based on the tenets of that group, they could, either be granted marriage or not.
So you're saying heterosexuals could be civilly married could be in a civil union as opposed to marriage, too, if they
right.
choose.
Because that's, my viewpoint, that's really the state's role, to provide some civil union. It's not for them to dictate what a marriage is and what marriage isn't. To me, a marriage is more religious, more institution. Logically, I see the arguments for the other side, but I just cannot accept it.
How do you feel as a Catholic about the prioritization that we were talking about before? This does seem to loom so large in what the Catholic Church is expending political energy on as compared to its anti-war stance or its anti-poverty stance.
I would like to see a little more balance, but I think it's a reaction to what's happening now and what's in the news and what's getting the most attention. And if we look at the news today, it's gay marriage. So, as a reaction, it's natural to take your stance in opposition if you have one, and be vocal about it. Honestly, I think from a state standpoint, a state government standpoint, I don't think this is the biggest priority. I think there are bigger issues to be handled. So from that standpoint, they could be spending time and effort on other things as well.
Donna, thank you for your call. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
And Chris in Piscataway, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Yes, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just have two comments quickly. I'm just as a person who is of color, black. I'm just offended when people use the whole it's a civil, like, compared to being black people being in slavery. I'm offended by that, okay? And
the comparison with the civil rights.
Yeah, the difference. You see, here's the thing. I do not believe a man should marry another man or a woman should marry another woman. And here's the thing. My reason for that is a strictly religious reason. In other words, if the state wants to marry anybody, man, woman, man, woman, I do not care. That has nothing to do with me. That's a state thing. That's the thing. But when it comes to religious wrong, I'm against it on religious wrong. And I need people to understand that, because whenever you say something like that, the first thing you get labeled, you're homophobic, you're anti-this. I mean,
right.
I feel people who are for gay marriage are using the same extreme inflammable words as people who are against, because why can't I say, that's my point,
right.
Why can't I say on my religious wrong, I am not for gay marriage?
Right, I hear you, Chris. But how about, Chris, what do you think about this? Because the pro-gay marriage position is that the state currently is in charge of who can marry and makes a political determination. The neutral position would be that any pair of consenting adults could do it. The Ron Paul libertarian position is that the state shouldn't be involved at all in marriage.
Okay.
So you see, I mean, you almost seem to be saying that you don't care if the state marries people, which is, of course, what the debate is about. This is what state law should be. And then you, as an individual religious person or any religious institution, can have their positions on it and marry gay people or not. But that it's not the right under the Constitution of one religion or a group of religions to impose that as state law on all the others. What do you think?
That I must agree. I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm with Ron Paul on that. My personal view, again, is I'm not supporting the marriage on religious grounds. The state should have no authority over that anyway, because it has to say, when we do that, then we become like the places we criticize, the Iran, the Saudi Arabia, who impose, who mix up. You see, because I'm religious, I'm a Christian, I don't want the state and how is it? It goes again on the state.
Right.
And
it's,
the
it's a great, Chris, I'm going to leave it there for time. Thank you so much. Please call us again. And the comparison, Professor Saltzman, with Saudi Arabia or other countries that might impose religious law and that would wind up disadvantaging Christians is pretty interesting. And it comes back to where we started the segment, which was Bishop Dolan's comparison with the U.S. to North Korea if North Korea does enact this. If the United States enacts same-sex marriage. How do you hear that? Is it just a little hysterical? Or why not take the – because you can't turn that inside out, as I did with the caller, and as the caller seems to accept there in the Ron Paul framing, that the state currently is in charge of who can marry and makes a political determination. That's sort of like North Korea. The neutral position would be that any pair of consenting adults would do it, and any religion could do it or not do it. I mean, that would really be the state hands-off religion, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I just find this, it's an interesting tact that Archbishop Dolan is taking in terms of focusing on government and government involvement rather than focusing on the natural law argument that has been the argument of the tradition. And I think, I mean, we live in a pluralistic society that's committed to equality and equal rights. And I think there needs to be that separation. No one's going to force the Catholic Church to perform civil unions or marriages. But the question is whether or not individuals, consenting adults in monogamous, committed, loving relationships should have the right to marry, and that right protected by the state. And so I think we need to be careful of legislating our religion into policy when it suits our purposes or not. I think that's a dangerous area to get into.
Of course, the debate in the state Senate and between the Senate and the governor does seem to be over how much right religious institutions will have to not participate in things that stem from gay marriage, like placing adoptive or foster children in their homes and things like that. And it looks like they're probably not definitely going to work that out by tomorrow. But we leave it there, a little exploration of why the Catholic Church, among some other religions, feels so strongly why the Catholic Church is taking the lead in the vocal opposition to same-sex marriage under the law in New York State. Todd Saltzman is the chair of the Department of Theology at the Jesuit Creighton University in Nebraska. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll talk about the war in Libya next.